And these are the stories that we'll be following on this edition of the DX Audio Service. Phil Wayne will be in with us in just a couple of seconds to let us know what's going on, the market scope. We have a look at the 1988 National Radio Club Convention, which is going to be held in Milwaukee. And John Bowker will be back with an interview, plus more news and information right here on the DX Audio Service for May 1988. Welcome back to Side 2 of this cassette, the DX Audio Service, for May 1988. I'm Fred Vobey. Well, since we had addresses on Side 1 of this cassette, I thought we'd have some comments on Side 2, or should I say letters from listeners. Letter from one of our subscribers of the audio service. He writes that I got an idea here on how to get more subscribers to the audio service. How about have a recruitment program? If a current member of the DX Audio Service recruits a new member to the audio service, they receive a month's free issue or an extension of their current subscription. Well, I'll tell you what, we'll take that up with Mike at headquarters and see what he thinks. And, of course, if anyone else has any suggestions, please feel free to let us know here at headquarters. On side one of the cassette, you heard an advertisement, so to speak, for Dialogue Magazine. Of course, we still have our long-standing policy with any other reading service that if they promote the DX Audio Service, we shall do the same. So if you are an editor or someone who contributes to one of these other talking books, be sure to let them know about our policy. We'll be more than happy to mention them if they mention us. Another letter from one of our readers asks a question about the postal rates and will our services go up? Well, as far as I know, right now, we have no plans to increase the subscription costs to the DX Audio Service. All the rates shall remain the same, at least for the time being, unless we find that the postal rates are just tying us up too much. But as of right now, no increase in dues for the audio service. Another person writes, they wondered if they could actually send in their subscription costs well before the date that they're due. And the answer to that is, of course, the way the computer setup is made, you could actually subscribe on January. And, of course, your subscription ends in the following January. But in June, you could also put down another $25 and then make that a two-year subscription. The computer really doesn't care one way or another how you lengthen out your subscription. So any way that you want to do it is fine with us. The only problem we really get into is when someone changes over, say, from a $25 subscription where you keep the cassette to the $12 edition where you're returning it. Basically, what we have to do is run out the $25 edition before we change over to the $12 edition. Going around the other way, that doesn't seem to be too much of a problem because obviously on your last day of the $12 subscription, you just keep that cassette and then you start fresh with the $25 subscription and keep the cassettes from then on. Again, if you have any questions, bouquets or brickbats, be sure to let us know here at the DX Audio Service. We'll try to answer your questions and keep you informed on what's going on with the hobby and, of course, with what's going on the National Radio Club. And here's a guy who knows a lot about what's going on, Phil Wayne, with a look at Market Scope.
Thanks, Fred. It's time once again for Market Scope, boys and girls. I'm Phil Wayne. For this month, we're checking out format changes in Syracuse, New York. Longtime FM country station WRRB dropped country in favor of beautiful music. WRRB was highly successful. But change in preparation of Park Communications plans to launch a satellite-fed beautiful music network. Here are bits and pieces of WRRB in its last few weeks of existence.
Lloyd, Sure Thing on FM 108, WRRB. Bill Merchant with you for every night from 7 to midnight. And our weather tonight, cloudy with a few flurries, low tonight 10, and it is chilly out there. Tomorrow, cloudy with a few breaks of sunshine, a high of 25. Tomorrow night and Thursday, cloudy with snow developing, possibly mixed with freezing rain on Thursday. Low tomorrow night 20, and Thursday's high 32. Right now it is fluctuating between 20 and 21
what
degrees.
What day do you think the official one-day Syracuse snowfall total will equal or exceed 10.8 inches of snow? Let us know, and you could win a John Deere 502 snowblower worth more than $600 from Shanahan Tractor and FM 108 WRRB. Send your prediction to 10.8 inches of snow contest, WRRB, Box 6975, Syracuse, 13217. That's Box 6975, Syracuse, 13217. Or register in person at Shanahan Tractor, Route 11, Lafayette. A random drawing will be held in case of more than one correct prediction. Snowfall measured at Hancock Field Weather Station, Syracuse. It's your chance to win a beautiful John Deere snowblower from Shanahan Tractor and FM 108 WRRB.
All right. Now, if you've got a birthday today, the 2nd of February, simply give us a call, 421-9772. Let us know about your birthday or whoever's birthday it is, or anniversary. It could be a wedding anniversary. The number again, 421-WRRB.
WRRB, Conway, 27 after 4 o'clock, Sunday afternoon. The sun is shining. I love it. Look at out there. A couple of blue skies and cold temperatures. Here's our weather. I got a lake snow advisory in effect north of the Thruway. That means just about everybody anyway. Today, windy and bitterly cold with flurries. Lake effect snow north of the Thruway accumulating. It's going to accumulate on me. Accumulating 1 to 3 inches, high near 20. Tonight, windy with scattered flurries ending after midnight and a low near 0 overnight. Tomorrow, windy with a chance of snow late in the day and a high near 35. Right now, it's 17 degrees. Here's Alabama, WRRB. FM 108 WRRB, you're on the right side of the dial.
Lie beside me on the sand.
FM 108 WRRB. It's 11:28. This is Tim George. Good evening. 31 degrees as we begin to wrap up FM 108 WRRB. Here are the Bellamy Brothers and Crazy from the Heart. FM 108 WRRB, the Bellamy Brothers and Crazy from the Heart. It's 11:32, 28 before midnight. Here's George Strait, Famous Last Words of a Fool at FM. FM 108 WRRB, George Strait and the Famous Last Words of a Fool. It's 25 before 12 midnight. Here's Loretta Lynn from 1977, Why Can't He Be You at FM 108 WRRB. FM 108 WRRB. Willie Nelson singing about the city of New Orleans, 1984. It's 13 before 12 midnight. Aaron McCarter's from Timeless and True Love at FM 108. FM 108 WRRB. That was the McCarter's from Timeless and True Love. 10 before 12 midnight. Here's Tanya Tucker, and I'll Come Back as Another Woman at FM 108 WRRB. FM 108 WRRB, Tanya Tucker, and I'll Come Back as Another Woman. It's 11:54, 6 in front of 12 midnight with Tim George beginning to wrap things up. 31 degrees outside. WRRB reminds you the North Area YMCA will offer indoor soccer for youth beginning on Saturday, February 22nd, 27th, which was yesterday. If you'd like information, you can call 451-2562. And we'll get rid of that card. 451-2562. Our forecast for the overnight, increasing clouds with a chance of some snow toward morning, low 20. For tomorrow, Monday, mostly cloudy, some snow likely, but little, if any, accumulation is expected, high about 38. Monday night, partly cloudy, cold, occasional flurries, and a chance of lake effect snow, low 10. And Tuesday, partly sunny and cold, occasional flurries, high about 25. As I said, 31 right now in central New York. Here's Gary Morris, 1981, and Headed for a Heartache at FM 108 WRRB. FM 108 WRRB, Gary Morris, and Headed for a Heartache at 2 minutes before 12 midnight. And that's going to do it for me, as well as FM 108 WRRB. On behalf of everybody from FM 108 WRRB, I'd like to say, ladies and gentlemen, it's been a pleasure. Until we meet again, have a great life. We leave you with the Everly Brothers from 1957 in Bye Bye Love at FM 108 WRRB.
Bye bye my love, bye bye, bye bye my love. From Syracuse and Central New York, this is WRHP FM Syracuse, a Park communication station.
Why me, Lord? Christofferson from the album Jesus Was a Capricorn. Rodney Crowell and Roseanne Cash did It's Such a Small World, and Waylon's on Deck, and Barbara Mandrell and Ronnie McDowell coming up, and Ann Murray. Welcome into AM 1260 Syracuse Country. This is Jim O'Brien, a couple minutes before 7 o'clock. All the CBS news coming up on the hour. Light snow, 21 degrees.
AM 1260, WNDR, Syracuse Country.
CBS News, this is Mitchell Krause. Today, I'm Mitchell Krause, CBS News.
Updating the weather for Saturday morning, cloudy with snow today. And we're getting a little dusting right now this morning. The high temperature today will be around 31 degrees. And for tonight, it'll become cloudy with snow possible, low of 15. For tomorrow, a mix of clouds and sun, the high 30. For Monday, a high of 32 with a chance of some snow. The time right now, it's 7:07, 21 degrees. Good morning, everyone. Jim O'Brien along at AM 1260, Syracuse Country.
1260 WNDR was quick to pick up Transtar's country format concurrent with the WRRB change. With distant country stations only reaching the fringes of the Syracuse market, WNDR now has, as WRRB once had, the exclusive country format. For MarketScope and the DX Audio Service, this is Phil Wayne. We'll see you next month with a look at Las Vegas radio and to tell you the story about the chief engineer who can never come home.
I have absolutely no idea what Phil is talking about, mind you. Well, Phil, at least I sent you some newspapers from Las Vegas for your collection. Right now, I'd like to fill you in on the 1988 National Radio Club Convention. The convention will be held September the 2nd through the 5th, 1988, of course, at the Midway Motor Lodge Airport, otherwise known as the Best Western. Now, that's across from the Milwaukee Airport, 500 feet south of the Red Carpet Hotel where the ANR Convention was held. Now, some of the nice things they have at the motel is, of course, a indoor pool and sauna. But we all know that you're going to be going to the convention to discuss the club and to meet friends. So let's get on with some more information for you. For reservations, room reservations, you have to call this number, area code 414-769-2100. Again, that telephone number is area code 414-769-2100. 2100. That's for reservations for National Radio Club DX Audio Service members only. The 800 number will not give you the convention rate. So please call area code 414-769-2100. Here are some of those rates, by the way. If you're not by the pool, the room rate is $52 for a single, $60 for a double, $6 for each additional person in the room. If you're by the pool, which, by the way, those rooms happen to be a little bit larger, it's $64 for a single, $70 for a double, and $6 for each additional person. There are approximately 40 restaurants within easy walking distance from the hotel, and there's also a limo from the airport. They'll have two tubs full of refreshments. Now, 30 rooms are booked for the convention. However, the overflow will be at the Motel 8, which is just down the street. The motel is also 800 feet from I-94 at the airport exit. And they will be having the buffet breakfast and Sunday, that is on Sunday, and of course the Saturday night dinner just
prior to the business meeting. The convention fee has not yet been determined, but as soon as we have that information, we'll of course pass that on to you. And Phil, I know you're waiting with bated breath for this announcement, but some of the nice things that'll be happening during the convention is, of course, Milwaukee will host its Polish Fest, and that will be happening along with the NRC convention, which has something to say about how we pick our convention dates. But hope to see all of you at the 1988 National Radio Club Convention, September 2nd through the 5th, up in Milwaukee, Brewtown. And, of course, we can all meet Mike Nitter and see if Mike will buy us lunch on Friday.
We have a unique opportunity. I'm live on location in Northwest Indiana for this particular segment of the May DX audio service. And I'm going to be interviewing a fellow named John Bowker. That's a familiar name to you, perhaps. But I'm going to be interviewing John S. Bowker. I am John D. Bowker. And son John has been active in the radio broadcasting business for many years, goes back well over a decade. And it turns out, though, that this is an anniversary, May 1988. It's the 10th year anniversary of the following test.
Good morning. This is radio station WAKE and WLJE FM in Valparaiso, Indiana, conducting a transmitter test at 1500 kilohertz AM and 105.5 megahertz FM. Central Daylight Savings Time is 1:30.
Well, John, you were in good voice that evening, that whole night. First of all, let me welcome you to the DX Audio Service once again.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here for the first time in, 60 or 90 days, I guess.
Well, that's true. It was back in November, I think, or was it earlier?
Was it longer ago than that you were back doing 10, 50, 60, and 70? The last thing I remember talking about was that other station in town.
WNWI, the one with the good jingles.
There you go again.
Yeah, okay, fine. Let's talk about the CPC test that you had run here. Earlier, you had mentioned that this was being done for the National Radio Club. Tell us a little about how did this CPC test for the National Radio Club come about?
Well, what happened, this, in fact, was the second test that we had done, the one that was just recorded from back in May of 1978. We had done a test prior to that, March 21st of 1977, and what we found, the first one that we did was relatively spur of the moment. We only gave ourselves about 3 weeks' notice on the first one. We had a new chief engineer operating WAKE, and he had to do some tests on the equipment that hadn't been run according to FCC regulations for, they estimated, somewhere between 10 and 12 years. So it was time to at least make sure we were operating somewhere close to 1500 on the dial. And by the way, the FM station automatically simulcast back in the late 70s, so we didn't have a whole lot of choice. Since the FM was a 24-hour operation, we just we just kind of did it that way and turned it into a CPC test on the FM. And what happened on the one that we did in 1977, we did it, again, with only about 3 weeks' notice, and the only way that the NRC and IRCA members heard about the test was through the bulletins that they sent out at that time during the, I can't even think of the name, the Hotline Club or something like that they had, where you called two friends who called two friends who called two friends and told them that this test was going on. And the response was relatively limited. If I remember correctly, we received somewhere between 20 and 30 verification requests from that test. The test that you just heard that little excerpt from in 1978 was far and away much more successful. We had planned that about 90 days in advance. It was in the DX News weekly and then monthly and then or semi-monthly or whatever the schedule was that the fine folks. It was back when the Louisville Publishing Center was operating the whole nine.
That would have been Dick Truax, probably.
It was Dick, and Ted Fleischacker was also one of our contacts down there. That's who.
Is that right? Good.
That's who we contacted as far as getting everything set up and making sure that we could do it. We did contact WTOP in Washington. As mentioned on this tape somewhere else, I don't remember exactly how far along it was, but we found out that WTOP was going to be off the air. That happens, I guess, once or twice a year. They go off the air to clean the tubes or yeah. You know, do the dusting or whatever they do inside their 50,000 watts in Washington. And so we did a lot of planning on this. I had a couple of ham radio people involved on the test as far as coming up with some Morse code IDs for me on the 1,000 hertz tones that are heard throughout the tape.
Maybe we ought to just take a break for a minute to listen to those 1,000 hertz tones.
It was a cart with a 1,000 hertz tone that I had one of the ham radio members, friends of mine, just come over and keep opening and shutting the pot to the Morse code, which took him quite a while to do it because he had to do it backwards. If you've ever tried to do Morse code, where you keep the tone open when you don't. So you have to lift the key up when you're doing the letters, and it took him quite a while to do it. But if you know Morse code, it says wake all over it.
Well, that was very clear. You were using a 1,000-cycle tone so people could tune in, and then the W-A-K-E, W-L-J-E, and things like that on Morse code. But this particular tape, as we'll hear, has some interference on it earlier in the evening. Do you know who sent us this tape?
Yes, I'm going to have to go back in my decade-old memory and scrape off the cobwebs and take this out of the golden stacks away. I'm sorry. That's what I'm saying. I'm sorry.
Stop being a disc jockey. Be an NRC member for a minute, will you?
I'm sorry. This tape came from Toronto. One of the phone calls, I did acknowledge several phone calls that I had received this evening on this tape, and I had received phone calls from New Bedford, Massachusetts, Provincetown, Massachusetts, the Pinellas Point in Florida, and
just to round out New England, there was one in Connecticut that you mentioned that you haven't heard this tape in 10 years, but I just heard it this afternoon.
Yeah, there was somebody from Connecticut and a tape from Toronto, Ontario. And this tape, I mentioned that somebody is going to go to Memphis, but I don't remember if the phone call was from somebody in Memphis. He could have been from Nebraska, Omaha, Nebraska, I received a phone call from. The signal pattern that WAKE is using, perhaps I ought to get into that a little bit. It is not an omnidirectional. They do have two towers, and their lobes are almost exactly due north-south. We are beamed at Milwaukee. We have to protect Detroit, Minneapolis, and Washington, D.C.
You were protecting with your north-south pattern not only Washington, D.C., come on, you guys. But with 1,000 watts, right?
And 250 at night.
But also protecting Detroit.
Detroit.
You want to know how Detroit protects you? Listen to this.
This is radio station WDEE in Detroit, Michigan. Owned and operated by Combined Passion. WDEE operates at a frequency of 1,500 kilohertz. With a daytime power of 50,000 watts and a nighttime power of 5,000 watts. WDEE now leaves the air.
Listening, Mike says to tell you he will be coming to the Memphis area get-together. This is radio station WAKE, Valparaiso, Indiana.
The point being, WDEE turned off their 50,000 watts so that your station
could shine through I think we were covering 38 states. Isn't that what WGN says?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Hey, if GN can do it, so can WAKE at 1:30 in the morning.
Tell me when you first approached the management, or did you do this sub rosa, telling them you'd like to put on a DX test?
Well, I had the results of the first one that we did without telling them. It was the first one that we had done back in March of 77. It was the type of thing that I decided at 1:30 in the morning, it was the type of thing I wanted to be doing. I didn't get married until 81, so it was the type of thing that I would have been doing back in 77 as a junior at VU at Valparaiso University. So when I had all the results, I had the letters that we had received, and they had to do the test anyway. The engineering department and the Federal Communications Commission had just recently fined the radio station for several things, and one of the things that they had been fined for was not compliance with their transmitter tests. So they had to do these things on a regularly scheduled basis, and I just simply said, hey, do you mind if I come over here and help? And then I went to the chief engineer, and he said, what are you going to do and help? And I said, I'm just going to make it so that there is some modulation going on, just so you can make sure that you have the right station, that you know exactly what you're listening to. And he said, that's terrific. Fine, go ahead. You bring the pizza.
Were you an employee there at the time?
Oh, yeah, I had been an employee there since 74, so I was doing afternoon drive for him at the time, and so it was just a matter of getting up in the middle of the night instead of in the middle of the afternoon.
I see, and going to school at the same time.
Oh, that too, yes.
Did you get any phone calls? I know you did. Did they kind of mess you up? Because I know this is sort of extracurricular for you.
Well, quite the contrary. The phone calls were terrific. It was instant response to the fact that the DX News has people that actually read those things. It was quite remarkable, the phone calls that I had. I had nice conversations with people that I had been reading musings from in the columns for the last many years, and put a voice with the typewritten letters.
And you had, what, 8 or 10 phone calls during the hour and a half or 2 hours you were on?
I think it was probably closer to 20 or 25, and somewhere between 50 and 100 written requests for confirmation. And each one of those confirmations did receive a personalized response from me on our letterhead. I didn't send out postcards for two reasons. One, I didn't feel as though that was going to be appropriate from one NRC member to another, and we didn't have any. So,
and besides, who was paying the postage if you used a letter?
And it didn't make any difference who was paying the postage back then. It was 12 cents or whatever it was.
Something like that. But you did send out individual letters. I know you did, because one of them appeared in Popular Communications. That would have been, how long ago did that appear in that magazine?
I can tell you that it was, I want to say something along the lines of October, November, and it was either 85 or 86. I'm thinking it was long enough ago that it might have been 85.
Well, any of the NRCers who subscribe to Popular Communications magazine knows that they have a broadcast DX column, and one of your letters from that DX test appeared there as a typical sort of a good example of a DX response.
And it was a half a page ad. Now I was astonished when I opened the magazine and saw my letter in there. What is? You know, I almost asked him for. It wasn't copyrighted though. I didn't have the little C down there in the bottom, or I could have gotten them for a couple hundred bucks.
My hunch is you would have said yes if they'd asked anyway.
Absolutely.
Well, very good. Now you're not with WAKE at this point, so that people shouldn't write to you at WAKE or W. Oh, say you were also simulcasting on FM. Do you have any indication that the FM gained you any DXers at all?
I don't believe it did. The only thing that accomplished was we did have a couple of listeners from farther away than we had in the past. The FM at 105.5 is in direct competition with a station in the far northern suburbs up by Lake Geneva in Lake Zurich, Illinois. At least it was back then. I don't even know if that station is still around anymore. But I did have a confirmation from somebody in Zion, Illinois, which is right on the Wisconsin border, after that other station had signed off saying that they had heard me. But that's it. It was strictly an AM event, and FM was just a sidelight.
And as you said before, because they were on the air anyway. And it's a Class A, that is a 3,000-watt, 300-foot antenna, or 100-meter antenna, they call it. John, thanks so much. This has been fascinating. And I take it that the management of WAKE took well to it after they learned what it was all about.
And, in fact, have used it in advertising. They used it in advertising for a good 12 to 18 months after the test was over, when they could put it in their... They had copies of the letters that I had received from Florida, Massachusetts, Toronto, Nebraska, saying what a great radio station we were running. And needless to say, the 500 or 250 watt, whatever that other station is in town, whatever they were running, was questioning the authenticity of the letters. And we just told them that these were honest-to-goodness letters that we received at powerful 15 a.m.
One of these days, we'll go to powerful 1080 a.m. WNWI in Valparaiso. That's the other station you were talking about.
Because I keep forgetting. I'm sorry.
It stands for Northwest Indiana. We're Northwest Indiana, of course. I think that's where we'll terminate this particular thing. John S. Bowker, thank you so much. This is John D. Bowker. Fred, you take it away.
Well, you heard John S. and John D. talk about the network of people who get late-breaking information. Now, what this is the Tip Traders, and I have here the 1988 Tip Traders list, and listed here are the phone numbers of the DXers who want to be contacted by other members with a hot DX tip. Now, the nature of this tip should be in one of the following categories. First of all, a late-breaking CPC test. 2, a sunset skip pipeline to a certain area of the country. 3, a station that's usually no sign off, but is off the air. 4, a daytimer on late for emergency or testing after midnight. And 5, another new station on the air. Now, please call only during the specified calling times and use the by-state listing to judge who would benefit most from your tip. In the case of needing to notify many people, like in the case of a CPC test, ask each person to call a couple other people on the list. This list will work best if everyone cooperates. An updated list will be compiled on July the 15th, but if no new information comes in by then a new listing or changes will be accepted at the convention, and the new list will be submitted after that. These times are in Eastern Local. Some of these people have answering machines, and they request that you do leave a message. Don't just hang up. Please leave a message as to what's going on. I'll give the name of the person, the state in which they live, the days and times to receive calls, and then the phone numbers. First on the list is Bruce Conte from New Hampshire. He requests information on sunset skip and early evening, Sunday night, and Monday morning. His phone number is area code 603-878-3595. Next on the list, Ray Aruda from Massachusetts. 7 days from 1 to 5 in the morning, area code 617-998-3958. Next is Ernie Cooper up in Provincetown, Massachusetts. 7 days, 1 till 3, and also sunset skip and early evening, not 21 to 0100. The telephone number, area 617-487-9337. Also in Massachusetts is Mark DiLorenzo, and he takes information on sunset skip and early evening to 2200 hours. Friday and Saturday, also sunset skip and early evening skip to 0100. And his telephone number is area code 617-429-1594. Burton Zax in Rhode Island takes information on sunset skip and early evening from 18 to 2200 hours, 7 days a week. His phone number is area code 401-274-8364. Make that 8346. Let's get that right. Also, Tony Fitzherbert from Connecticut, he takes information on sunset skip and early evening skip, and his phone number is area code 203-336-8959. Also, Jay Smeltstein from New York, 7 days from 1100 to 0100, area code 914-666-6811. In New York, Ken Chatterton takes information, no sign-off period anytime, area code 315-387-3583. And Paul Mount, who is the editor, by the way, of this column in New Jersey, takes information on Monday morning and 1800 to 0100, 7 days a week. His phone number is area code 201-836-1682. And Paul does have an answering machine. Please use it if you get a hold of the machine. Next on the list, Bob Smolarek from New Jersey. He takes tips from sunset skip to early evening, 1700 to midnight, 7 days. Area code 201-439-2016. Also, Steve Paradis, I believe is a gentleman's name, in Pennsylvania. He takes information for known areas at area code 717-374-0101. Next on the list is Dave Schmidt from Delaware. 24 hours, no sign-off period is what he's looking for. And he has a phone number of area code 302-323-0338. And Dave does have an answer machine. Next, Bill Harms from Maryland. He takes information on sunset skip and early evening to approximately 9 o'clock p.m. Also, he takes information on sunrise skip Saturdays from 6 o'clock till 9 o'clock in the morning. Phone number is area 301-498-1324. Bill Coleman from North Carolina takes information 7 days to 0400 at area code 919-443-3551. Next is Dave Fox from Pennsylvania. He'll take sunset skip and early evening information. Telephone number 215-373-4400. Next is Mr. Sticker himself, if you've ever seen his van, Dave Wutmau, up in Ontario. He was looking for information on Monday morning and Sunday morning skip. And his phone number is area code 416-527-0383. Next is editor of AM Switch, Jerry Starr in Ohio. He's looking for information on Monday mornings, and his phone number is area 216-534-1394. Next is Dan, I hope I pronounced this right, Jakubowski, I believe, in Ohio. He's looking for Monday morning skip, area 216-845-9341. Next is Ken Romstadt, otherwise known as the Woos, up in Ohio. And I guess that should be changed. I think he lives in Michigan now, Paul. Seems to me he's just over the border, north of Sylvania. Anyways, he's looking for Monday morning skip, area code 419-475-9341. 3089 is the phone number we have. Next is Gary Siegel from Toledo, Ohio. Gary says, let ring three times or less. He's looking for Monday morning skip, Sunday morning skip, and sunset skip in the early evening. Area code 419-726-1405. Next is David Reeds from Kentucky. He's looking for sunset skip in the early evening. Area code 502-239-8300. Next is Dick Truax, the treasurer of the National Radio Club in Kentucky, actually Louisville, if you want to get specific. Sunset skip in early evening, 2 11 p.m., 2300 hours. His phone number is 502-491-2871. Next is Dan Bartek out in Nebraska. He wants information anytime a clear channel station is off the air only. And his phone number is area code 402-443-4494. Next is Rob Kramer in Chicago, I believe, Chicago, Illinois. He's looking for a Monday morning skip to 0300 all night on Sunday morning. Area code 312-262-6299. Next is Tom Jasinski in Illinois. 7 days to sunset skip early evening at midnight. Area code 815. Let's get him in the right section of the country. 815-744-4174. Next is Eric Loy from Illinois. He's looking for sunset skip in early evening. Area code 217-586-3255. Next is Jeff Cadet in Illinois. Not during Carson's monologue, he says. Otherwise, any other time is okay. Area code 309-833-1809. Now, the editor for the club, Mike Nitter in Wisconsin, he's looking for information, and you can call him at area code 608-423-4159. Next is John Rieger up in Wisconsin. He's looking for stuff on Sunday morning and Monday morning. Area code is 414-764-5859. And by the way, John does have an answering machine, so be sure to use that if you get a hold of it. Next is Eric Buneman from Missouri. He's looking for information on sunset skip in early evening to midnight and Saturday till 1 o'clock in the morning. Area code 314-895-1436. Next is Neil Wolfish up in Manitoba, weekly to just after midnight, midnight to midnight 45, weekends till 2 o'clock in the morning. Area code 204-474-2941. Next is Bill Whitaker in Texas. He's looking for a Monday morning skip. Area code 214-343-1433. Next is Don Erickson out in California. He's looking for information on Monday morning, Sunday morning, and sunset skip and early evening skip. His phone number is area 714-687-5910. Finally, Albert Lobel out in California. He's looking for 2200 to 0100 Sunday only. And if you get his answering machine, be sure to mention Tip Trader on the answering machine. Now, here's his first phone number is area code 619-484-0604. That's the answering machine number. Or 619-566-0092. Now, if you would like to have your name added to this list, or if you have any information that you need changed on this list, be sure to get that information to Paul Mount as soon as possible. And you can write to Paul Mount at the following address. It's 471 Emerson, E-M-E-R-S-O-N Avenue, in Teaneck, T-E-A-N-E-C-K, New Jersey. Zip code is 07666-2727. And maybe, Paul, when we're out at the convention, we can have you read this entire list for us here on the audio service and get your fine voice on tape. And that does it for the 1988 Trip Tip Traders List on this edition of the DX Audio Service. One of the letters I received from a member of the audio service asked the question, on the last edition of the audio service, which, by the way, was the April edition, we had some old jingles that we put on the tape. I was wondering if we had any more of those old jingles. Well, I'll tell you, I've got about 2,000 tapes sitting on a shelf of nothing but old jingles and old radio memorabilia. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to try to put a little montage together of just some of those jingles, and perhaps we'll hear some stations that we remember, and maybe even remember some of these jingles being played on the air. So until the remainder of this tape, until we get to the end, here's some jingles out of the 60s and 70s. Remember, it's been at least 10, 15, 20 years since I've heard some of those. Anyways, some jingles there from the past for you from my collection. Before we skedaddle out of here, I'd like to make a quick reminder to those of you who subscribe via the returnable edition to be sure to have your cassettes back to us by the 20th of the month. They have to be received here in Lima by the 20th of the month for us to copy them for the next edition. If they're not received, we have to hold them for the following month's edition, so you actually miss out on 1 month. So be sure you have your cassettes back to us by the 20th of the month. And that wraps up this edition of the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service. The DX Audio Service may not be reproduced in whole or part without the express written permission from the National Radio Club Incorporated, Cambridge, Wisconsin, 535-23-0024. See you next month on the DX Audio Service.